Praise God. Well, this morning we're back into our series of teachings dealing with devils, demons, and evil spirits. Really, the direction God's led me in this is really different. I've heard over the years people teaching this subject, but a lot of people just get usually in the beginning, in which I'm saying, you know, the Lord leads them that way. They usually deal talking a lot about the devil. And the Lord wanted me to move over is one thing. The discussion a lot about the devil is not going to help you at all dealing with the devil. It's where your position lies. See, if you don't know where your position lies, it doesn't matter even that Jesus defeated the enemy. It's just like, you know, Mike said this morning, you know, when he was up here taking the offering and about people's ideas and thinking and what people, you know, look at the things that happened to them as being bad and they think God did it. Well, when you think like that, when you think God is in control, you're yielded to wrong teaching. Therefore, you will not stand against the devil. You can't. And you need to know, even as a good Christian, you might hear the right teaching, but if you're in a position and you think, well, is God trying to work something out in my life with this? Sometimes God may be working some things out in your life. But I'm going to tell you, he's working for you. So if you need to make a change, well, just, you know, repent and make a change. But God's working for you. He's not trying to make bad things happen to you. Now, you're going to have difficulties in life, number one, because you're living in a world with devils. And, you know, I agree with Kenneth Hagin on this subject. He made the statement and said, if you'd see all the devils around you, he said, most of the average Christian would be literally scared to death. He said, I'm not kidding about it. In other words, it'd kill them to see. They'd be so terrified to see what's going on. In other words, around us, we need to understand that, you know, there's angels out here, but there's demons. And the devil operates in this earth, and he has an authority to be here. Now, you have authority over him, but you have to understand how to operate in your authority. He can dominate you if you don't walk in your authority. He can dominate you. He can, because when Adam sinned, he gave over his dominion. He allowed Satan to come in the area of his dominion and operate. He allowed it. Now, Jesus Christ won us back this dominion over Satan, but you're going to have to enforce that. It's not just going to happen to you just because you're a Christian. We can see that around. I see Christians sometimes going through worse stuff than the sinners do. And when you run into people and they don't know what to do, and we're not saying it to criticize, it's because of so much wrong teaching. The devil has gotten a lot of doctrine in the church, a lot of doctrine into the church that has brought much weakness to Christians. And Christians are thinking. Now, and it's like, you know, Mike was saying, if God is in control, then what happens to you is God. Why would you ever pray and try to stop what God wants happen to you? I mean, that'd be ludicrous. That would be direct rebellion against God. Are you rebelling against God, trying to stop what he's doing to you? You see, there, even in good, I find it in among the spirit-filled people, have mixed beliefs. There's just things all intertwined and stuff. And, well, maybe God wants me this happen. Well, why are you praying? You should only be praying, does he want me or not? Don't ask him to get off of you what you think he wants to have on you. Because if you do, that's direct rebellion against God, of his plans and his purposes. Well, I got in looking in the scriptures and I found healing through it. I never saw Jesus tell anybody, hey, you know what? God's trying to kill you. Do you know that? He's trying to teach you a lesson. It's just like one thing. I have never, ever asked anybody who thought they were going through a bad time if God was doing it to them. I asked, what's he doing it for? The only thing that people ever say, he's trying to humble me. Well, I say, well, why are you so prideful? You won't give it up. What are you so prideful for? You can't quit being prideful. It ain't working. So why would God be doing all this to people when it don't fix them anyhow? You know what'll fix you? The Word. The Word will fix you. Jesus told his disciples, you're clean by the Word that I give you. That straightens your life up, not trouble. Trouble should lead you back to the Word. That's what it should do. Hallelujah. When trouble. Now, we're talking this morning, and let's go back over to Ephesians. I'm going to read through the whole area that we're talking about here, and then we'll go into more details again in these things. But there's foundation in this scripture that you need to become very clear with on this. Paul's got a revelation here that he's bringing to the church. In other words, what individual Christians we need to do to resist Satan's attacks and what to do. This has us to do. Now, so in Ephesians 6, chapter verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We said from the beginning, the way you do this to be strong in the Lord is to be in faith. If you're not in faith in the area that you're dealing with that is having a problem, then you're not strong in the Lord. You cannot be weak in faith and strong in the Lord. We are strong in the Lord when we're trusting him and what his word said is true. That's just a simple thing. That's how you do it. See, I've heard people say, you need to be strong in the Lord. You ask them how you do that. Well, you just trust him. What do you mean by trust him? What does it do? And they'll go, well, you know, believe. Well, what does that mean? They don't know. They don't have, it's just throw another word out on there. Well, how do I do that? Well, you believe in the word of God that it's true. Then you act like what he said is happening to you, not what the devil's doing. You know, you act like what God's word says. And he says, what do you do? He's telling us what. Put on the whole armor of God for this purpose, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the methods or his trickery or whatever he does. Why do you put on the armor of God? It's not to save everybody else. This is about us as individuals. Get that in yourself. This armor is about what you wear to protect you. My armor can't protect you. You need to get that in you. This, Paul is talking to the individual Christian, what we have to do. Now, I want to tell you, if you can wear armor and you get yours on, you can be helpful to other people. And we're helpful by teaching them, whether it's to accept Christ, get your armor on yourself. See, I'm teaching today for each individual in here. Watch, so you can put on the armor to protect yourself. When we're dealing with the majority of the church is very unprotected. Very unprotected. We have very little, very few soldiers in the church. Most of Christianity believes, don't even believe the devil's stuff and things and taking authority of the devil. Wow. So they put no armor on. They don't think they're standing against anything. You know? They don't believe that. These scriptures here, these letters were written for the church. That was for the first church. I'm sorry, Ed's in the first church because there's only one. Hallelujah. I'm in the first church. In the first church, this is just, if this is a revelation of God for the church, it's just as much a revelation today. So get that within yourself. He said, then he goes on, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling? Against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, he's telling us, there's things happening behind the people. This is not just a flesh and blood fight. Satan operates through people. He does it in the church realm. He'll get somebody to teach false doctrine. That's what he does. See, he's behind it. And he'll get them to teach false doctrine and put it in the church. And this is why you as an individual, if you're not an armor wearer, you're going to fall for the false doctrine. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get tricked. You're going to get tricked. Armor is to protect you, not from just bad things happening. You know why bad things happen? Bad doctrines, bad beliefs. So when bad happens, people don't know how to stand against it. It runs over. That's how it happens. Wrong teaching. And also just not teaching things. Believe it. Well, that was for them back then. Well, if it is, then let's throw the Bible away. What are we reading a book for that has no benefit to us? It would be a dumb thing to do, wouldn't it? You know? It means I wasted a lot of time. I want to tell you, I have wasted over 40 years of my life in this thing. You know? Well, I didn't waste it. Hallelujah. Well, so he tells us, in other words, this is for you as an individual. Why? So you can stand against the devil. You can stand. So he's going to tell us what you need. This is important. Paul's going to give specific revelations that I would say are foundational to stand. If you don't have these, you can go on to all kinds of other revelations and they're going to do a whole lot for you. Because the devil, you know, you might believe God for money, but the devil will come and take it from you. You know, if you believe this, you need to have a foundation in you, and Paul's giving the foundation that you need to stand against the devil and understand this. So, Let's hook with Paul. Now, we're going to start out in the beginning here. We went through two of these. Now, what I want you to do, and I said last week, get your mind on the names of the pieces of armor. It's the revelation that they stand for, not the pieces themselves. It's what it stands for. It's what's the revelation of God. People got so interested in the pieces that they missed the revelation. And so we need to get it over. See, you can, people, I've seen these confessions. You know, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put this, and they make a confession. You can make a confession all day long. It's the revelation that will change your life, not that confession that I put it on. Well, what is it? Oh, no, but I put it on. So if I say I put it on, I must have it. No, you don't. It's a revelation from God. Now, we talked about the first thing that he made statement of. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you must stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. So in other words, the purpose of this is so you can stand, and when you've done everything. Now, he's telling you everything. He's going to tell us what the everythings are that you need to know. Why? So you can stand. He's going to tell us. We put on the armor. Why? We're in a world, and whether you want to believe it or not, you're in a war. There's two kingdoms, and these two kingdoms are in opposition to each other. It is just, I'm going to tell you what, you want to see what the devil's like? Look at Iran. Iran is a perfect picture of these military they have over there that, you know, they will not quit. They're going to keep doing evil. They don't care. The rest of the world mad at them, whatever. It's just like the devil. That's what he does. It's the same thing. Now, I ain't saying America is this great godly place. But the whole thing of it is, they're a good picture of evil. And you know what? Because the church don't understand evil. We have a nation where it hasn't been preached. And so people look at it and they get all discomforted because of what our government's doing and fighting it and all this kind of stuff. They get discomforted and everything. Why? Because they don't know about the devil either. This is all about a man thing in politics and everything else. And most of the church is up to here in it. They live in it. And they don't realize we're dealing with demonic forces. People pray about this thing. You didn't just pray about our president. You bind those devils in those nations that operate, that do these things and these terrorist stuff. You think it's godly? See, no, all we do is wrestle against flesh and blood. That's all we know. And the devil gets to run with a free hand. And they say, well, why won't these people quit doing their stuff? Because they're bound by the devil. You weren't near as cute as you think you were when you were a sinner. You were a dirtbag. Get over yourself. The only reason you have any good in your life is because of Jesus. It ain't because of you. Without Jesus, man is worthless. He'll follow evil and go off to destruction for eternity. I mean, think about it. It ain't bad what these people are doing. My God, they're ruining their life here, fighting and killing and stuff and going on. And then they're going to have to go live for eternity with punishment with the people, a lot of them, that they... It's like, it's insanity. But the church is tied into this insanity. We'll end up in heaven, but I'm going to tell you what, it's only by the mercy of God. It won't be because we were smart. So many are stupid. We're dealing with demons, and demons are driving people. People today say they don't have common sense. I'm sorry. People yield to the devil ain't going to have any good sense. See, the more, I watched this, the more our nation got darker and darker, the crazier the people in our nation get. We need to understand it. It's about these kingdoms and this operation. I watch this. You go along, and there's people who get more turned toward the light, and they become more enlightened and walk in it, and the majority of the church has gotten into darker places. They're into darker places. I mean, they're fighting the fact that, you know, God's dealing the killing and stealing to destroy. And I mean, they'll run you down if you say any different. See, we need to change. And that's why it's important. Somebody's got to make a stand. Why not us? Why does somebody stand against the devil? You know, I'm not even going to, I don't even fight them. I don't respond to them. They put things online. People spits up online about me. I don't never respond to it. I ain't going to fight with the devil. They ain't smart enough for me to... Why would I waste my time Somebody, I know they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what to do. I ain't going to go over here and beat up a two-year-old. No, this most of the church world is running around fighting with two-year-olds, acting like they're some kind of big something or other. You know, don't even bother. We got to preach the truth. Tell people the truth. They used to take, you know, they can say what they want. It don't matter. They can say you were wrong. Jesus never sat and fought over them with it. I ain't going to fight over with it. Why? I've learned over the years. I've listened to other preachers who over the years had a lot more experience than me when I started, and they found out, don't bother fighting with them, Lord. It don't do a bit of good. Brother Hagin, I remember him, he used to love to debate when he was a younger Christian. He loved to debate people about things about the Bible, and he said, I found that didn't do a bit of good. He said, I just got... He said, just preach the word. Don't get into the bait. Because I tell you, it's hard to... Yeah, I'm just serious. It's people get sold into a certain area. And if God can't get light in through them, you ain't. Amen. You're not. If the light ain't turned on, you know? All we do is we just keep preaching the truth, walk in love. Best to our ability, walk in love with everybody. Best ability, don't fight with them. Best ability, you waste your time. You know, they're saying all these things. I just preach the truth. They get mad at me. That's all right. It's okay. Hallelujah. You know, when you're bound, I was bound with the devil when I, you know, before I got born again. And you know what? I fought against any good thing. Hallelujah. Well, he comes along and he told us one third thing in standing. The first thing he said in verse 14, stand therefore girding your waist with truth, having the put on the breastplate of righteousness. The first thing was truth. Then he went on, he said, having your shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He said, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, when he started off, the first thing to do, he said, gird your waist or put on your waist, what? The truth. And we just talked about it. You're going to find every one of these things has to do with the Word of God. It's all about the Word. It doesn't, the subject doesn't change. This is one thing, like I said, I've heard a lot of teaching and people get off into a lot of different things is because they don't read these and teach it in context. The context is about you as an individual, what you do, the revelation that you have to be able to stand against the devil. Because the devil's very cunning, he's very tricky, he's a great deceiver, he's excellent at it. He's very persistent, you know. Hey, people, well, you know, Jesus defeated the devil with the word. It said, yeah, he left him for a time. He didn't quit. He came back. And you know what? He had a group of people, a lot of the Pharisees. He had them, and he would use them to come and try to get Jesus. He would use people. I'm going to tell you, the devil uses people who don't know any better. That's what he does. But understand what's behind it. Understand what's behind it. Don't just get in a fight. You know, there's time people have to be dealt with about things. You got to deal with them. We're going to talk about that. The Bible does tell us what we do with bad people. Things to be done, which we don't do today, is why one of the big messes America's in, because the church got into this lovey-lovey mode and don't punish nothing. The church is a lot of reasons why America's in its condition today. What we call love wasn't God at all. It's demonic. It has been false doctrines carried into the church and taught with a false love and a false dealing with things, and it's messed everything up. We need God's help, and I found this out. If I'm not operating in the Word of God, it's hard to get God's help. If I'm not moving in God's direction. You know, we were down, Randy Greer, and he made the statement about one of the ministers that was there with at the meetings and that stuff, and he said this guy would always say, God only lives in what He designs. God's Word is designed, and that's the place where He lives in it. He made us temples. We're temples for that Word. That's what we are. We're temples for that Word to live. And the Holy Spirit is what takes what belonged to Jesus and reveals it. It's the place where the Word is supposed to be. When people are off with it, I'm going to tell you what, don't be surprised power don't work out to help. See, we need to get this idea within ourselves. What you're made for a container of the Word. That's why you were born again. That's your spirit. Jesus talked about it. The words, the seed, the words planted in the soil. What was the soil? Your heart. Your heart, you're the temple. That's what it is. Your heart is the temple of God. That's what it is. Your spirit is the temple of God. Your body has the spirit in it, but your body physically is not the temple. Your spirit is. Your spirit is the literal temple of God. That's the place where it's designed for God's word to grow in you. It's in your spirit. So, you're going to understand this. He said, you've got to be girded in this. You've got to be girded in the word. So, understand this. This is the first one he said. So if we want to even tell people what to do, number one, if people aren't into the word or getting into the word, the rest of it ain't going to work. You need to get girded in the word. That needs to become a thing to you. Understand, know what the word says and teaching it. Understand, especially if you're going to stand in an area of faith, you need to know. I know it's listening to Kenneth Hagin over the years. Kenneth Hagin talked about years ago when he would be ministering out in the field back in the late 40s and into the 50s. He'd say about this, because he ministered mostly in churches. And he'd say, you know, get in a church. He said you had more time sometimes to in a church than you would in a convention area to specifically deal with people personally. And he said people kind of pray for it, and they'd ask him what they're believing for. And they'd say, and he'd say, what scripture are you standing on? And he said the majority of the time the person couldn't tell them the scripture they're standing on. They'd have to stop and think about it. If you have to stop and think about where you're standing, you ain't standing there. If you have to stop and think about it, where am I standing on this thing? I want this, but where are you standing? You know? That's, you know, we have GPSs today and things like that, and so your phone, so you know where you're at the time, and the majority of people wouldn't have a clue where they are if they didn't have their phone. They wouldn't know. They have no clue. They can't tell your location. See, that's why you drive down in interstates and they have all those mile markers and all the tenths of a mile. That case of an accident, you can tell exactly where you're at. That's why all that started. Now, they don't need that as much today, but they still want to spend the hundreds of millions of dollars on the signs. And let me tell you, those little signs, if you know what they paid for them, you'd go up to Harrisburg and choke every one of those people in the Democrat and Republican Party. I'm going to tell you what, in a 1 mile area you could buy a house for those signs. I'm going to tell you. Because you got them on both sides of the roads, and those little things and those big ones you see, oh my God. You could probably pave the highway. And I always think it's funny they spend all that money on those signs and nobody pays any attention. Hallelujah. But it's a feel-good thing for politicians. And people, I like that out there. Why do you like it out there? I don't know, but I'm comfortable with it. Good Lord, we got to make you feel comfortable. I do. See, it's good to stick your nose in things sometimes, you know. Oh, my words. But anyhow, so you got to get the word into you. Now, the next thing we talked about, secondly, these are the first two things we talked about last week. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and we talked about righteousness. You can forget about just breastplate, righteousness. And we looked at the scripture, what the scripture says about righteousness. Number one, you're going to have this key, and you need to get this. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We went through scriptures on that righteousness. It looked at righteousness, we found, is by faith in God. It is not by your works. You have a right. Really, the basis of righteousness is being right. God said you're right. And the most wonderful thing about it, God, from a scriptural standpoint, says you and I are as righteous as God is. If you don't have that, if you're trying to approach God or dealing with the devil, because one thing the devil's going to do, he is always going to try to get you to believe that there's something wrong with you, that you can't get God to respond to you. He's always going to do it. He's always going to get you. Don't you remember what you did? Don't you? He'll always try to taunt you. He'll always go to try to find fault with you. You're never good enough. Man, is the church ever filled with that? You know? Do you know, if you think about it, I mean, Mike talked to him and used that thing from that song. That's a guy who don't believe he's good enough. That's what he is. God has to keep me poor so I can follow him. Say, what is wrong with you that you're so evil that God can't give you a nickel? That you live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, he probably sold a bunch of them records and made himself a bunch of money telling everybody else, you live wrong. What are you doing with that? Your paycheck. You're living pretty good off your paycheck, ain't you? That's why, you know, if a preacher, I always do, if a preacher preaches to me that God wants him poor, don't send an offering plate to Ed. I'm going to do to your word, give you what your word said. See, you know, why is it that everybody believes we're supposed to be poor trying to get money? Why is it? You know what? It is just natural. Just think about it. First thing God tells man when he makes the garden, where the goal's at. Where all this good stuff is. Amen. He really put him in a bad garden too. I mean, that thing was really a tough place to live. And then God came down to visit them in their poverty. How do you like the dump I put you in? You know, you used to have an old song, you know, give me a log cabin in the corner of glory land. I'm sorry, there's no log cabins in heaven. Never even mentions it. See, people get deceived because they're taught false teaching on humility. And so they believe being poor is humble instead of stupid. Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. You ought to cross that out and say you'll always have the stupid with you. You need to understand this. Because this is... Sure you will, because people will believe wrong things. You're always going to have... There's all kind of people out here and that stuff that are poor. And they're poor because of the way they think and what they do constantly. You know, people say about the homelessness out of here. They aren't homeless. People say they're homeless. You need to understand it. The majority of them are males. And the majority of them are hooked on drugs and stuff in here. See, and when they're hooked on drugs, I'm going to tell you, they say, well, they have mental problems. Ain't no person on drugs has a good thinker.
That's right.
It never happened.
Amen.
They say they have a mental problem. Well, what they do? Here's the answer to society. Let's get them needles so they don't use dirty ones and catch something else. Let's do this. Let's do all the... Now, you see, they're trapped in a demonic area, and the people who want to help them are as demonic as they are. Or they think they're good people. They're nice people. You don't fix what the problem is. Forget the houses. Don't need them. Because you know what? Just think it. Los Angeles alone has 47 fires a week started by homeless people. And when they put them in a place, they start fires in them. And they burn and tear them up. Rip the stuff out of them and go sell it for drugs. The problem exists because of demons in the leadership and demons in the people that are all messed up. It's demonic problems. You can't vote these things out of people. We know politics don't change it. Put money into it. Politicians in general throw away, I don't care who they are, throw money at all kinds of things money shouldn't be thrown at. The idea that we have that money is going to fix all these problems, it's not going to. I never saw anybody, you give people like just here in our state, they went and did a special here years ago on the things of people who win $1 million or more in a lottery in Pennsylvania, their condition today. The majority of them are in the same condition they were in when they got the money. They just blew it and didn't. Why? If you don't have wisdom. In other words, you don't understand and believe the right things, so you do the right things. Money doesn't change a person. We're going to get all these poor people and we're going to just feed them and take care of them and they're going to become better people. And every ministry that does it is turned around, always needs more money because more people are in problems. Don't it seem like, wouldn't you think God had a better plan? Did God plan so the end of the age, this was his idea, that things would just fall apart and we'd just get worse and worse and worse? Well, people say, well, it's going to get worse. That's right, because God knew this. People will yield more to devils, even the church. Now we're talking about this. Righteousness. You have to know who and what you are. You must understand, because the devil is a liar and a cheat, and he's always going to put you over in the things and making you believe that somehow you're not good enough. Because number one, Paul said this, so you can stand. In other words, your fix ain't going to happen right away. Should I tell you, the majority of the times, it don't. You have to stand. That's why you have faith. You wouldn't need faith. You get instant all the time. Wouldn't take anything to do it. You're going to have to stand. Just like Jesus. He stood against the devil. Devil came back. I'm going to tell you, you stand and go through something, I'll guarantee you the devil will be back. He ain't going to leave you alone. My God, he tries to visit me often. This is a constant standing thing. This is a constant thing that you do. You have to know that you're righteous, that you're as righteous as God. Now, you want religion to try to stop you in that? The devil has in the church taught the church that that is false doctrine, that that's evil talk, that you're as righteous as God. Yet the Bible says we have his righteousness in us and on us. It says it. We read it last week. It's in us and on us, that righteousness. You need to become convinced of that. You need to become, because there's voices. I've never been in a tough situation where I haven't had the devil say something, try to discourage me from faith. Always does. I've learned this. I learned this from watching Jesus. When Jesus, you know, we see him, we get to see him in his natural ministry dealing with demons. And when a demon would open his mouth, he'd tell him to shut up. See, you got to learn to talk to the devil, tell him to shut up. This is people, the devil's been talking to me. Have you told him to shut up? No, I thought I'd come and you'd pray for me and we used to get him to stop. Would you do that for me? No. The devil can bring voices. Anything that comes in concerning condemnation. God may deal with you about something you've done wrong, but he will never condemn you and hound you about it. God will tell you about things. If you don't want to change, he ain't going to hound you about it. The Holy Spirit never does that. Never. If you have something that's hounding you all the time, there's a wrong spirit involved here. That's the devil. I don't care if you missed it. God will try to respond to get you to move over in the right direction, but he won't hound you about it. See, I learned that as a young Christian. You know, very young Christian, but we were around some people and, you know, they got off, a person got into a, actually over into yielding to spirits. And I won't go into all the story about it and that stuff. And God showed me and that stuff and dealing with this demon, this person. Got over, it's a good Christian person, but got over in disobedience to God. God tried to get a hold of this person. They just kept going in a direction. The devil got a hold of them. So the first thing that the people did, that his relatives and things, and their response was, you know, and telling, you know, well, we're not going to, that Kenneth Hagin ministry stuff, that's wrong. It's wrong teaching, and that's why, they got on Wanda and I about, you shouldn't be following that. And I thought, this ain't it, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, when you have the people turn against you, you know, you do that, and we're just young Christians. And these people, the teaching of the Word's the wrong thing. We need to get back over to Mennonite teaching. We need to get back into this. Because the devil don't bother us there because we're not doing anything against him over there. And so I got this hand about, you're heading in the wrong direction, kept on me. And finally one day I stopped and I thought about it. I said, God, if this would be you, I'd never serve you again. Treat me like this. Because I was just taunted day and night. And I just stopped and said, this can't be God, this is the devil. And I said, devil, I want you to understand this. The more your blab mouth runs, the more I'm going to follow this teaching. I just want you to understand it. The more you run your mouth. See, people don't stand. What they do is they go, get somebody to pray for me. I'm sorry, you need to get standing. Somebody ain't going to keep the devil off of you all the day. It ain't going to ever happen. You got to learn to stand and use your mouth against the devil. You need to know who's bringing what. See, if you don't know it's God or the devil, you cannot stand in faith. It's an impossibility. You can say you're believing God, but you're lying. You need to stop and say, hey, this is either God or the devil. Devil, this is you. Now the fight's on. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, you shut up. I'm not going that way. God's good. See, when I learned it, by learning that, that's why when I had my heart attack, the devil told me I was going to die. I said right away, this isn't between me and you. This is between me and my Father. I corrected him immediately. That's the first thing I said. The first thing I said out of my mouth. Why? Because I learned it back then, and that hounding. God would have never done that. God had never stopped and said, well, you're going to die now, you bugger. Look what you did. See, you've got to get it within you. Why? You know, you're some unrighteous thing. You've got to know where you stand with God. Just think about it. You could not be seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God if you ain't righteous. It's an impossibility. Only righteousness gets into the kingdom. That's it. Nobody is going to heaven who's not born again. They're not born again. They haven't received Christ. They are not getting into heaven. They can't. Why? Because they're not righteous. If we only went to heaven because we did, oh, you could never do any wrong thing. If that's why, you know, our self-righteousness, heck, ain't none of us ever make heaven. None of us. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to remind yourself and the devil of that when stuff comes. You're going to have to stop. Because if he said righteousness right away in there, I know this. This is a bot that the devil is very good at dealing with people to back off. You're not good enough. You're not. I'm going to tell you what. God made me good enough. And I can say it. I'm good by faith. I ain't good by my works. I'm good by faith. My inner man is perfect. The outer man, we're still slapping this thing around trying to get it to do something. But the inner man, God made me as righteous. The day I got born again, I was as righteous as God, and so were you. As righteous as God. You ain't gonna get. Now, I want you to understand this. You will never grow up very much spiritually if you don't understand this. Because the devil will always keep you off over in an area that you're not quite good enough. You know, God loves you like you're a puppy. A cute little thing, and he rubs your head and your ear every once in a while. But he is tired of taking you out side at night and having to you go into the bathroom. He's tired. He just does it because he's real nice. But there's a lot about you he don't like. Oh, yeah. That's the church's basic idea of us Christians. I've heard major ministers say, well, God don't really need us. And I think, man, we don't need you. The church don't need you saying dumb things like that. God needs me. If he don't, I ain't a worker together with him. See, you know, you run a business and nobody ever show up for work and say, well, I didn't really need them. Well, you ain't going to have a business long. Hallelujah. God's got good sense. But see, we have all these things in there. We get over, the church gets over fighting over all kind of big things, and all these little things are the things that are destroying everything. All these little wrong thinking things allows the devil to come in and do all kind of things. He's a sneaky bugger. But get yourself over there. Well, let's look next what he said on here. And we want to talk about this today. Here's a very important part that you need to understand. He said, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we want to talk about this today. Because we need to understand, it says the gospel of peace. When the church hears the word gospel, they automatically think about one thing. Number one, they think of salvation, being born again. That's it. There it is. But see, there's Jesus, it talks about him preaching the gospel of God. See, he couldn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus hadn't been died and raised from the dead. So he didn't. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ goes into us from the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach to people. But we need to understand, he says the gospel of peace here. So we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's different things said about what gospel is, and we need to understand this. He is speaking here the things that we put on personally. He said, you need the gospel of peace. Well, now I'm just going to tell you this. I heard a lot of teachers. I didn't really go into any time into really deep study of this thing until God started talking about it, telling me about things. And I thought, did I ever read that? And I got over there and started reading. I thought, I never heard anybody say these things. And so I got looking. I want you to understand about the gospel of peace. This is a really an important part. That he says that you need to have on you as armor against what the devil does. The devil's trickery. One of the things the devil's going to do to you is try to tell you that God is against you in something. God is against. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, God's never against us. Even when we do wrong, He's not against us. When we want to see something. Now, first of all, we're going to look at very familiar scriptures, but we need to get over and wake up on some of these in the Gospel of Peace. excuse me. In 1 Corinthians, I want to go to the 5th chapter, very familiar scriptures here, 1 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read Paul's writing to the church. Now, this church, we know this. This is a real carnal bunch. We know by the writings, the two letters written to them. Well, we're going to look. If they're carnal, and God says these things to them, we can get a good view of how God deals with us as believers, about our stance with Him. Look what he says in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, do you qualify? Are you in Christ? Are you born again? If that's you, see, I am. If that's you, it says what? You are a new creation. Now, he said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, now listen, all things are of God. What? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation just simply means to be to restored to friendship or harmony. See, you're reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. How? That reconciliation, it was, why this reconciliation? What is it? In other words, God has restored us to friendship and harmony. You need to understand this as a sinner. And we need to tell the sinner, God loves you, but He's not your friend and He's not in harmony with you. Oh, we're not allowed to preach that. No, God loves you and whatever. No. See, when I was a sinner, I was not in harmony with God. And we weren't friends. When Adam sinned, you know why Adam got thrown out of the garden? Because he lost harmony and friendship with God. And God. Now, God didn't quit life. God did things. God started operating in a restoration program. But man was never in harmony. Look at Israel. Even though God gave a covenant, did things, he was never really in harmony with them and walked with them. Never was. But he had a plan. He had a plan to do it. He loved them and he wanted to. You need to understand this. People in the world are not in harmony with God. I was not in harmony with God. We were not friends. See, we need to come to this thing. God's love, especially, you need to understand this as a Gentile. The Gentile, the Jew, had a covenant with God. Huh? Oh, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 5:17. Sorry about that. Yeah. Anyhow, so we need to get on. So this reconciliation, we need to understand. We as Gentiles were in a really bad position because we didn't have a covenant with God. We had none. Definitely we weren't in harmony with God. We didn't have a covenant. We had nothing with Him. When you came to Christ, Jesus Christ changed the thing and offered covenant to the Gentile. Because he goes on, these ones were in Christ. He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. What is this? It's to tell people that they can be reconciled to God, to the sinner. You can come to God and be reconciled to Him. God has reconciled Himself now to mankind, but mankind now must reconcile themselves to God. See, people say, God loves you. Yeah, God loves you, but until you recognize and reconcile with Him, you're not going to experience that. You're not going to be in harmony with Him. See, I wasn't in harmony. This is one of the things the devil wants to do. He wants to convince you of wrong doctrine. He wants to convince you. Why? He doesn't want you to believe you're in harmony with God. He doesn't want you in that place that you and God. This is the gospel of peace, folks. You are not going to fight a battle against the devil unless you know that you and God are in the same team. You and God are in the same place. This is the whole thing that he fights. He comes against the weakness of this teaching. You know, you're not good enough. You're not this. You're not that. And he comes against you. The Bible, God says, you know, you're righteous. And you know, you don't understand what I've done wrong. I'm never a Christian. Christians will turn around and tell me all they've done wrong. And I say, you know, you're righteous. And they'll say, well, no, I've done this or I've done. Oh, well, okay. They don't know who or what they are. So the enemy holds them in that place. This, we're given this. We're supposed to be telling people about these one things that we do. But we're not going to, you're not going to tell people this when you're not sure about where you stand with God. Now understand this. This is where we shod our feet. Now, let's keep it in its context. You look at most of the translations, they give the idea this is what you're going to go preach, you're going to walk. No, it isn't. He said this is the place you stand. He's putting this armor is where you stand at. Why? Against the wiles of the devil. It's not about you going and preaching it, it's about you knowing it. You need to know that you and God are friends. That you and God are in harmony. That God in Christ Jesus put himself and reconciled himself to you. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, you reconciled yourself to God. See, in verse 19 he says, and that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. And see, we say, well, let's go preach that. Did you preach it to you first? You can't stand against the devil. He gave us the word. Word you have faith in. Are you constantly, you the place, I know that me and God, we're on the same team. I accepted him. I'm not what I am or who I am. Good, bad, or ugly because of who I am. It's what he did. See, God did the God reconciled himself to you and me. That's what he did. Now, what he did in it, he says, now look, because I did this, you come, you receive my son. And now you are reconciled to me. This is what we're bringing people in. See, I don't care. You can tell people how much God loves them. You need to tell them they need to reconcile themselves to God. You need to commit yourself to him. To why? To receive this reconciliation. You and I, we got born again. And so what? We stepped into the reconciliation. So now you and I are in harmony and friends with God. That's pretty nice, ain't it? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You're in harmony and friends. Now, you didn't do nothing to earn this one. You didn't do a thing for God to turn around and make harmony with you. You didn't do one thing good. When I was born into the world, I was born into the world of sin. I had done nothing good for God or anything else. And then I came along and one day when I was 30 years old in January of 1980, I finally one day woke up to the truth. And accepted Christ. And on that day, I reconciled myself to God. God wasn't holding my sin against me all the time. I was raised in a church where God was holding sin against the sinners and the saints. And there was no different way. God was mad at all of us. We were never good enough. They tell you, come accept Jesus, go to heaven. But I'll tell you, he's going to thump you good while you're here. I'll tell you. And when you get to heaven, he got a file cabinet with everything you ever did. And I'm going to tell you what. Your file cabinet's so big, they'll probably have a separate heaven for it. When they can keep that file cabinet of all the ugly things you did. You know? But God loves you. But I want you to understand, that sounds funny, but you wonder how much I teach you. I'm serious about that, what I said about that. That's what I was taught in the church. You were never good enough for God. How did all that get in there? Evil spirits darkened people to the word. They heard, they believed, and they just went on. Other people preached it. And I could tell you what happened in the church. Nobody ever got any new revelation. Why? Because everybody talked what was said before. Nobody read the Bible for themselves. Nobody ever studied for themselves. No, this is our church doctrine. That's what it was. And they didn't realize the devil was running the doctrine of the church. And these are good people who did want to follow God and did want to do right. But the devil ate a lot of lunches in that church. He tore it up for a lot of people. Why? Because they were taught wrong. So their believing was wrong. And the devil was operating and nobody knew it. False doctrine. If you say, well, you know, they're teaching doctrine of the devil. People get mad. They're nice people. I don't care. Loads of nice people are yielded to the devil. Those people, loads of people believe false doctrines. They're good people, but they believe the wrong thing. Well, God didn't bring the wrong thing and teach it. Where did it come from? They say, well, he got it from so-and-so. Where did he get it from? When it comes down to it's the devil. The devil comes along and brings false teaching in, and it gets spread. And so we need to understand that about ourselves. Don't let the devil trap you in these areas. I don't care how much certain people, I've learned this over time. When I found out something works for me, I don't care what anybody else says about it. I don't care what, God gives me a revelation, I get it, and I know it works, and it works for me. Don't matter, people can say what they want. Not today. We're so moved by other people around us trying to stay happy because if I do, then, you know, they won't like me and this and that. I don't even care. God likes me. You and God, you ain't got a chance. You're going to come like that. We want to please God. People don't, I want to please God. Really? Stop and think. Do I? Who am I trying to please? I'm going to tell you what. Jesus could not live in the church today in the natural walking around. They'd kick him out of 90% of them. Because he doesn't follow the doctrine of the church. Why did they didn't like him in the synagogues and those leaders? Why didn't they like him? Because why? The devil had gotten in and brought false doctrines in. You know, they made 40,000 laws to try to figure out how to do the law. I'll tell you what, the law was a lot to begin with and 40,000 more. I mean, what on earth? It got so bad, God couldn't keep up with it. God couldn't do them. It's like, we got to get ourselves, you know, it's crazy. Now, I'm trying to, these are simple truths. Look at Ephesians, the second chapter. We want to see something down here about it. This gospel of peace. You've got to get convinced because the devil will try to teach you. You and God are at odds. Well, you don't know. You messed up. You know, you messed up so much, if you confess it, he'll forgive you immediately. Man, I'll tell you, well, this is a hard thing. Hallelujah. And he didn't say, if you didn't confess it, I'm going to get you. In Ephesians, the second chapter, starting verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." See, there was a middle wall of separation between the Jew and the Gentile. See, we need to know as a Gentile, I'm going to tell you, we got a deal. Amen. What God did because of under the covenant of the Jew, he extended that blessing to you and I. Hallelujah. Now he says this, having what abolished in his flesh the enmity. Now that word enmity, it's typically mutual hatred or ill will. What did he do with that? He abolished it. The ill will between man and God was abolished. You know, this is one of the great false teachings is today in the church. A lot of Christians, I've been around a lot of spirit-filled people, they think the Jew has a better place with God than the Gentile does. Loads of them do. You know, the God looking in the earth today, it's all about Israel. No, he isn't. It's about his church. Amen. The church is still here. It's going to get to be all about Israel, but it ain't now. Amen. See, when we turn around and make it Israel special, that's false doctrine. They're not special. Jesus died for the whole. And if they don't accept Christ, it ain't going to be good for them. The Jews and the Gentiles who accepted Jesus Christ, they're a special group, and there ain't nothing like them in the earth. There ain't any group that God's in more harmony with than the Church of Jesus Christ. Nationally, Israel, he's not in harmony with them. Good that comes to Israel only comes because of their forefathers, not because of them. And thank God for the good Christians that help them out. Pray for them. People need to understand these things. We get off and they get our teaching into extremes. Why? Moving Christians away from where they stand and their place in this earth. I'm going to tell you what. The believer with right doctrine is a powerhouse in this world. And the church keeps trying to put it off to something else. We're the powerhouse. Israel's not the powerhouse in the earth. The church is. The church is the powerhouse. Don't ever minimize you're accepting Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ, the powerful thing that you stepped in and what you are in this earth, don't you ever minimize yourself. Do you know one of the things that we have tried? You know what the great hatred, one of the great hatreds is, Donald Trump? He don't minimize what he is. Oh, and people hate it because the doctrine of the church is you're a nothing. And the church has promoted this in our nation and got it in. And got this stuff in. And if somebody stands, you know what? His presidency is what presidents were supposed to be doing all along and have not been doing them. And it makes all these people mad. They said, well, he's not following the Constitution. Yes, he is. He's doing exactly the contribution he says he can do. But because of all the weakness of the church, of we're nobody, you know, we're living paycheck to paycheck. We're just trying to get by down here. Us, and the whole hot time, we're the powerhouse. And the church is never standing up to be the powerhouse. Much of the church world, even they get over things. They're more interested in the natural than they are what's going on spiritually in this earth. And taking our place, we want to be a blessing to the nation. We rise up. You can send them all the food you want. You can send them all the doctors you want. But you better be able to stand up against the devil, because you'll never have enough money any other way to take care of all their sickness and food. We're the powerhouse. See, you need to understand who you are. You're called to be a warrior. You're called to one to stand. Hallelujah, that you can personally stand. You know what? Nobody else stands. You walk in the light of the Word of God, you will. Everybody else quit and do they want. God will uphold you. God don't uphold crowds. He holds up people. And that's what you want to walk in the place where you're. He'll uphold you no matter if you walk in line with the Word and you do it. Now in Ephesians, it says you're at peace. He's broken up. He's abolished the enmity. That is, what was it? The law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. See, there's peace. There's supposed to be peace between the Christian and the Jewish Christian. The Gentile Jew. We're one church. You know, I've heard to use this. I've been around times in that stuff. I was around some people who were Jewish Christians. And whether they realized that they were a bit haughty, they thought, I'm a completed Jew. You know, we're really the... And I said, I'm a son of God. That's who I is. So, if you'd like to join my club, it's a better one. But the whole thing of it is, see, they get over a thing and see people, they don't realize, get this is not, we're in one body. See, how does this happen? What does it do? The devil got in and has brought something in. What? Bring separation. Trying to what? Stop the move of God. You know what then? They'll get over in that thing, and what happens? They'll get in trouble. They can't stand. See, this is a place where you can stand. You got to know your position about you and God, where you're at together. It says, and that he might what? Reconcile. Here's the word reconcile again. Them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. That word enmity, again, it is just that mutual hatred or ill will. See, the Gentile and the Jew didn't get along at all. Jews hated the Gentiles. The Jew did. And somewhere that stands together. The legalistic Jews are still that way. That's why over in Israel, you can't have no freedom over there. Because if you go over to the ascetic Jews, no man, they won't even go to a Gentile's house. See, a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, yeah, God's going to build the temple. And a Jew, you know, loads of Christians, well, if they do, if they put a temple up, I'll guarantee you there'll be Christians galore over there watching the sacrifices and being there and telling about how cool it is. Oh, yeah. Why? Because of wrong teaching. I'm going to tell you, my sacrifice is alive, and he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and I'm seated in him. And the Holy Spirit of God was given in me, gives me perfect connection to that seat. I have a perfect connection to that seat, that place. That if I ask God anything in the name of Jesus, he'll do it for me. They ain't got that. They can do all the killing, all the sheep, the goats, and whatever, bulls, and everything they want. It don't matter no more. It don't get you any closer to God. In this day and age, it'll get you further away. See, we need to get our thing. These things have brought in what? To try to divide. So don't get in there, fight with them. If you come along, don't get in there, fight with them. Don't do that. Hallelujah. You walk in the light. It's who your connection is to. Who your connection is to. You're connected to God. Hallelujah. The enmity, that typical, that mutual hatred and ill will, it's been taken out of the way by God. So why? He says he's putting to death the enmity. In other words, that's done. God is a friend with you. God's not warring against you. So we as believers, we're on the same page. No one's better in Christ than the next guy. Everybody's it. You're in Christ. Hallelujah. We're one body. We're not many bodies. We're at, you know, we might have different churches and stuff, but the Christian's one body. You know, there's loads of Christians I know, they don't believe nothing like I do. But you know, they die, they're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven together. Now in the earth, I still must preach the revelation that I have. I have to preach that. I got to preach that. I can't lay it down to keep them happy. You know, and if they don't like it, that's fine. They don't have to like it. I don't expect. God did not call me to make friends. He called me to preach the word. That's preach and teach the word. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what he called me to. So that's what you do. You preach. It's not to get everybody to like, because nobody, everybody's going to like. I just looked at Jesus and I thought, man, some people really liked what he said and some didn't. I can go to the scriptures and show you whether people said that they were disciples and really liked him until he said certain things and then it wasn't liking too much anymore. And then we aren't happy. You're a nice guy as long as you say everything I like. <You're>... Hallelujah. Well, in verse 17 it says, he came and preached what? Peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Hallelujah. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whether Jew or Gentile, we're all hooked together in this thing. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Hallelujah. See, you're not a stranger. What are you? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's who you are. See, get yourself in it. Nobody has a better place. No other group. The Jew don't have a better place because he accepted Christ. He doesn't have a better place. Hallelujah. We're all in the same body. Jesus is the same Lord of all. We're all seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Not by our works. They were near because they were in a covenant, but it sure didn't help them a lot, did it? Even though they were nearer, they couldn't see. See, we had better glasses than they did. They couldn't see. And they were in the middle of a covenant. Hallelujah. You and I weren't in the middle of a covenant. Hallelujah. Thank God we saw. So praise God you saw. And so we're in this place and walking in the light of this place. Well, we'll get over here we'll go into this to talk about a little bit, but we'll do it more next week. I want you to get this idea because the next thing that was said that you were supposed to do is to take. And I want you to see this because of what the scripture says about here. He said, above all, verse 16, back over in Ephesians 6, verse 16 says this, above all. Now from what he said so far, he's going to say this. All the other stuff I said, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. Now he said, now up to this point, now he says above everything, you make sure you have the shield of faith above everything. You need to know, walking by faith, what comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know the standpoint of teaching in faith, and we'll get more over into this, is what the teaching of faith is. Is the fact, he makes this statement, faith will put out all everything fiery thing the devil throws at you. It'll put it out. It says it will, everything. He didn't say you will have a problem that the devil will give you a problem that we can't fix. Now you need to get this in line. It says the shield of faith will quench every fiery dart. You know, I had never done any studying really along in here, and I got in looking about that word there for shield. What does it mean? Well, it talks about a shield, but it's a specific shield. It's not the one that they always show the Roman soldier with. It's not that. This shield is called a shield as a door. It's this huge shield. You may have seen this used sometimes on... You may see pictures of it, but you almost sometimes on movies and that stuff, they do warriors. See, what they do is they have this big shield. They walk out. The soldiers would all have this big shield. And these big shields for the purpose where you're going into battle with a lot of archers firing at you. And what they do, the guys in the front row would walk up and they would stick in the ground their shield. And they stand in behind it. The next row of guys walk up, put theirs overhead and lock it onto there. and the next guy's behind there, lock them on. And when the enemy fires all their arrows, it can't hit them. That's what that shield was for. You got a shield, he said, will block every. See, you got to get, the devil will convince you, he will convince you, some things you're just going to have to put up with. See, you need to, no. Faith in the Word of God, whatever it is. Now understand this. This faith, because I want to read this to you. It'll be helpful concerning faith. And we have read them before, but I want to read you to what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, where Peter spoke specifically about the devil, because I want you to get this. Because really, it is really, I believe it's a mercy, really a misinterpretation of scriptures. I got into studying this thing. I thought, man, this is better than what they said. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, or your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to what he says. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. In other words, the fact that you get attacked, there ain't nothing wrong with you. You're just here. Now get that in your, because see, the devil will convince you that ain't true. You're getting attacked because you're special. You're special trouble. That's what you are. You ain't good enough. Your righteousness ain't working. You got something wrong with you. You got it. He'll convince you. But I want you to see, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. The words in the are not in the Greek. They were added. It should say this. Resist him in steadfast faith. See, he said in the faith. When they wrote that in there, they generalized faith. This is not generalized. What are you standing in faith for? What are you resisting against? Do you have to read scripture about what you're resisting against? See, faith is not a general thing. To get born again ain't general. You have to believe specific things and believe it and say it to get born again. Anything's like, whatever the devil's coming against you with, whatever the attack is on your life, find the scriptures and what you stand steadfast in that faith. What are you at? Steadfast faith. What did he say? When you've done all, stand. It's like I said in the beginning, the devil will convince you, he'll always convince you that you try to convince you that you ever haven't done enough. You need to do this now. You need to do that. You've never done enough. That your faith ain't quite enough. You're going to have to do some natural things to fix this problem. You know? I know you've been having trouble and you got sick. Well, if it wouldn't have been for you didn't eat the free-range chicken, that's what's wrong with you. You know, your faith ain't, no, now if you quit this and you quit, and they'll start on all these things and will get you convinced that it isn't working. My faith will bring it to pass. My faith will work. See, you got to get over and convinced in that. See, you got to get steadfast. You can only stand against the devil if your faith is steadfast. You ain't going to stand on the faith of salvation to get healing and just believe, well, I believe I'm born again. Well, most people believe just born again and they don't believe that healing's for today. You better know that healing is yours. You have to know that it belongs to you. How do you, are you a place of faith that you know that it belongs to you? That you can stand steadfast and say, I don't care what's going on, what's happened. God's looking after me. God's working. Hallelujah. And I found that you find out how you're able to stand in faith. People can stand on different levels of faith. But I tell you, get in one. Get in some kind of level. If you're just general, don't expect generally much to happen. You find yourself specifically where you can stand and believe God. You know? It's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin about divine healing. He said, you tell people that if they go to a doctor, I want them well. They said, tell them to believe for a quick recovery. See, God will, where can you stand? See, you, this one thing. You have to know God wants you well to be able to stand in that. If you have any questions in your mind about maybe this has happened to me because I've done it, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm just not good enough, you get over into that, it ain't gonna work. You got to be convinced that God wants you well. See, if you're not convinced, you're righteous. I don't know, maybe God and I ain't that good of friends, you know. Maybe I'm not righteous enough. Maybe I'm not. See, if the devil can keep you questioning, this is why your faith needs to be specific. You need to know where you stand, because if you don't, the devil will always come and throw it at you. He'll always come and throw these things at you to keep you over in the place. See, you got that shield, that big shield of faith. You need to get convinced, totally, 100% convinced that your faith will hold off whatever the devil has thrown at you. He said, this will work on every fiery thought. Now, if that's true, I've just learned this over time. I have convinced myself of this. There's times I've missed it, but I've turned this. I missed it, that's me, it ain't God. I missed it. If it went wrong, hey, I can never blame God, because God just said here through Apostle Paul that every fiery thing the devil throws at me, I can bring it to a halt with the shield of faith. See, I know there ain't nothing wrong with faith, but I could be something wrong with my faith. This is one thing. See, people don't get convinced. Over time, I've had people, and they say this, and it's not no criticism. And they say, well, I'm believing God. And I know this. They're not specifically. They're generally believing. And their mind is, well, I'm saying this scripture. But I watch over time what they do and saying and stuff. There's things they're not really convinced. They're trying to get healed. They're trying to get money. I'm trying to get God. I'm trying to get God to do this for me. Or I'm trying to change this. And it's all generalities. And they're not really in a place of faith. They're not there. And you know what? The whole thing of it is, we don't play games with each other and with other Christians. Don't say we're something, you know, like we're doing something we ain't. That only hurts you. It never helps you. You know, if somebody comes and asks you to agree with them on something and you can't agree with it, don't. Most of the people I found over time want to come and ask me to agree with them or trying to get me to agree because they can't do it. And I know this, it ain't going to work because we ain't in agreement. I believe it'll work. They're just trying to get me to do it, to try to get what they can't believe for. See, get yourself over. Where can you believe? Find a place where you can stand. It's like Kenneth Hagin said. He said, I might be able to believe God for $10 million, but he said, I'll take a million. Because I can believe that. Take what you can. Amen. Quit trying to. This is not a show off. Your faith will never grow if you do those kinds of things of trying to stand in places you know you can't stand. Putting off with people. Don't do that. Your faith will grow if you will take what you can. I found this out. God, when I stood where I can, sometimes for a little bit, God turned around and gave me more than I believed for. But you ain't going to get more than you're believing for lying. Be honest. Stop and say, this is where I can believe. Let's get what we can. Let's hang on to what we can. Understand it. You got an enemy that's trying to get you not to get anything. He don't want you to have nothing. Don't let him do that to you. You're not proving things to people. See, it's your relationship and your fellowship with God. That's what counts for you. Not somebody else's. There's this looking in a church and trying to find somebody else who has a better stand. And maybe if I can get them to do it. Why can't you have a better stand? How about you? Thinking that other people have a better standing with God. Man, that is definitely demonic. That's demonic. That's wrong thinking. You need to get that fixed. Let me just say this, just in closing of this one. There's many ministers out here that God operates through many big things through them. And I'm going to tell you this. He does not do any of it because of them. He does it for the people. If it was because of them, they wouldn't have probably 10% of what goes on. He don't do it to them. See, people think that they hold some special place. No, God gave them a gift, but it's God's gift to the people. It's not to them. And God manifests it because of the people. And He does it. And you've got to hold yourself. So I've learned about teaching. I've learned it. I get revelations and things God gives me and stuff, and I know it ain't because it's bright. Dear Lord, I know that ain't because I'm bright. I mean, I can be out loading, mowing the lawn, even thinking about anything else or working on something, and all of a sudden a revelation comes to me about something and pops up, and I think, well, it's sure ain't because I was just doing some spiritual. Kenneth Hagin said this about his manifestations where Jesus appeared to him. He said, there's never one time he said that Jesus appeared to me and I was doing some kind of special fasting and praying and all that kind of stuff. He said, I believe he does that because he wants us to prove this ain't because you're special. I am. Amen. See, gifts and things are given for people and ministry to people. And you keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. See, I believe it's right. I can just tell you this truthfully. Lots of times the revelation God started revealing me about teaching over in this area came to me. I was out running. You know, sitting down reading and studying the Bible, and I'm sitting there reading. I didn't get it. I go out and take a run. God gives me a revelation. See, I know this. It's just a gift. That's what it is. I'm not special. His gift is special. His gift works, and as long as you use that gift to bless the body, use it to bless it. And here's the whole thing of it is, it doesn't work. People who are gifted are not gifted because they're great. I'm going to tell you, there's many people that sit in pews that are more spiritual than the guy sitting in the front. People don't realize that. See, that's why when we judge by men and we go over and think, just get in the Word, find out who you are. Just go be there. Just do that. Hallelujah. Know where you sit and stand. Know that you can stand in your life. You want to be. If you can stand in your life, then you can help others stand in their life. But if you can't, you're not a help to anybody else. So many people are trying to get things for people they can't get for themselves. They're trying to get things. I've heard people say, you know, I know why I can believe God for other people and I can't believe for myself. And I say, well, can you really believe for other people? How do you know? Well, they think they can because why? When they ain't feeling the pain, they can always believe for the other guy's feeling pain. They ain't feeling it. I'm going to believe God's going to heal it. You gave them the pain, they couldn't believe 2 seconds. They would be, oh, they'd be all focused on the pain. They say, well, I can't believe myself. Why? Because they are in the natural most of the time. And as long as the problem don't touch them, I can believe God. What happens when the devil's knocking on your door?
That's right.
What happens when you have to stand? Oh, man. And the devil's trying to convince you that your shield ain't working. Hallelujah. It's working. The Bible says so. The Word says so. Get convinced of those things. Encourage yourself in the Lord. As I've said so many times over the years, be your own best cheerleader. You know, quit waiting for the Dallas cheerleaders to come and cheer. The church don't have them. They love you one minute and stone you the next one. you got to be a cheerleader. You've done right, cheer. Thank God you're working. Hallelujah. Get your pom-poms out and praise God. Glory to God, you're something. Woo-hoo! Say, yeah, but it ain't changed yet. That's why I'm cheering. I believe it has. I'm believing the shields are working. Glory to God. And see, we do that. See, our actions need to correspond with what we say we believe. And see, many times I've learned this. And you can learn to judge yourself in this. You can tell by your actions whether you're really believing. How you act about it. Say, so you might be limping, but I'm going to tell you, can you get a smile on your face and say, thank God, I'm so glad I'm healed. Amen. I had problems. I think, oh man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm hurting and I'm thinking, good Lord, I am just so glad. I'll stop just trying to praise Him. Think, I'm so glad you healed me. I'm just so glad. Thank you for doing that for me. See, this is where the standing goes. See, I believe in good communion. I'm in fellowship with Him. Not because I'm wonderful. He did this thing. He put me in fellowship and relationship with Him. He did this. Hallelujah. To bless me. So I can stand. Raise my hand. Hallelujah. I can stand. You can stand. Hallelujah. And that's what you do. You put that shield of faith up. It's a working. This thing's a working. What I believe is working for me. Hallelujah. It's happening just like He said. The Word's true. Everything in the natural might say it ain't true. Everything in the natural might. But you have to. What you see in the natural, what you can see, you don't have to have one speck of faith for. You can see it. Or you can feel it. You don't need no faith for that. Faith is when you can't see it. And you're saying what you can't see is true. When it comes to pass, you don't need faith no more. You already have it. One of the doctrines that The devil got into the church years ago. I saw it come in back in the 1980s and in some of the 90s. Was people saying things like, you know, I believe in God and I believe I receive it. Now I'm believing for the manifestation. Nowhere in Scripture tells you to ever do such a thing. Nowhere in Scripture. And they got teaching and stuff. And people come and say, I'm believing for the manifestation. I'm sorry. If I believe I have it, then the manifestation belongs to me. Act like I got something. If you're believing in manifestation, you don't believe you got it yet. You don't believe you have it. And back in the 80s, some of that teaching started back then and it stuck in the church. And you get people who do that, they follow that. No place in the Bible tells you to ever believe that. Nobody, no place in the Bible ever says that. See, if people get into scriptures and follow what the Word says, if you believe you receive it, do you believe you have it? Do you believe He gave it to you? Do you? That's all He tells you to do. Why add to it? What you did is did what the Jews did. I'm going to write some new laws that will explain what God was trying to say here. And we'll have that one to follow now. Don't do that. He told me all I had to do is believe I got it. That's all He said to do. I'm going to tell you, I ain't adding to it. Man, I don't need more to do. I got enough to do. I don't need to. I'm not believing for the manifestation. I believe I received it. That's what He said. You believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Well, I know I'll have it, because why? I believed I received it. So I know I'll have it. Hallelujah. It's mine. See, get yourself over in the right thinking about this. Get yourself over there. Hallelujah. Where you can see that, that's where you stand at peace and rest with God. Hallelujah. He said He gave it to me. Then He did. Hallelujah. Because you know what you're going to have to do is what Paul said. You're going to put on the armor. Why? Because you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand at times and say, I got it. Don't look like you've got it at all. Amen. No, I have it. It's mine. It belongs to me. That's right. Hallelujah. It'll show up. It will show up. Hallelujah. It's going to show up. Why? Because God can't lie. I may miss it, may do dumb. He ain't ever missed it yet. If He did, He ain't God. Get yourself in that thinking, I think. He's God. He is going to do exactly what He said. It's working and coming to pass. And I'll just tell you this. You'll see much more come to pass quicker if you get believing right. Too many people extend the time because of their faith. They're up and down in it till they get themselves to steady, till they can grab a hold so things can come to pass. Don't do that. See, when you've done all to stand, don't get over there and this and I'll add to this and let's do that and I'm believing that. No, just stop. Put the brakes on. If I need to do anything, God will tell me. I don't need another thing. Hallelujah. We're believing God. Get yourself there. That place where you rest. See, Israel, if you read the book in Hebrews, talking about they never entered His rest. Where was His place rest? Faith. Your place walking in this earth of rest is the place of faith. You cannot ever be at rest if you're not in faith. You can't be it. They wouldn't believe God to go in the land, so they didn't. That was the land was the place of their rest, but they couldn't. They only believed what they saw, not what God. God said, I give you the land. They said, no, these guys are big over there. I'm going to tell you what. My God, you see they're giants over there. There was 10 of them. We saw them. And we only have a 200,000 man army. You know what that land does? It devours the people that live in it. Why? They seem to be doing well in it. See, you get thinking wrong things. Hallelujah. Enter God's rest today. Hallelujah. Whatever things are coming against you, whatever things have been going on, first of all, do this. Recognize the source of things speaking and coming against you. Recognize source. And you talk to that source. You speak to it. Don't be praying and asking God about it. You speak to it. You're the one with authority over that source. You are. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, said, you can pray to, he said, the Father and to me to do something about the devil. And he said, you're wasting your time. He said, we're not going to do anything about it. Why? You've been given authority over it. You speak to that. You speak to that spirit's behind the things that's causing you trouble. You tell it to knock it off. You need to understand this. Even with weather and things like this stuff is going around tearing up and doing all kinds of things. You think it's God? Do people talk to it? Do people tell the devil to stop it and bind him? No. Devil, you ain't doing this. Years ago, the Lord told me about, walked around my land and talked about, he said, your place, don't let the devil come and tear your place up. He said, last day there's going to be all kinds of storm stuff. Don't let him tear your place up. Walk around it. See, I walked around my place and I told the devil. See, I sat down and ruled about it. I talked to him about, I didn't pray to God about my land. Why? It ain't his. All these people, everything I have belongs to God. I'm sorry, you're in charge of it. You pray to him about it, you know what he'll say? Well, get out there and do something about yourself. I got to walk around and tell the devil, you ain't tearing things up. You ain't tearing everything up around here. You'll tear some up someplace else. If they want it, that's fine. But in my land. You know what he told me it was? He said, your house. He didn't say my house. He said, your house. You go say all them nice little religious things that people say to say, go ahead. God's never talked to me in that manner. Whatever I have in this earth, he keeps healing me. It's like I'm the guy that's ought to do it and take care of it. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And what did he do? He told Adam, I'm giving you authority over it. See, we need to do something about it. We aren't doing nothing about it. We're praying and asking God to do it. God, stop the devil. Stop these storms. Those storms, ain't God didn't send it. You need to get out there and look at it and say, devil! I've watched these things. It's Christian, they show that storms and stuff, when people testify. People didn't ever speak to the, no, they never speak to the things. They never talk to the storm. They never taught the devil. So, God, do something. God, do something. Hold it. Authority in this earth. I thank God he has been so merciful to us. So kind to us. I'm serious. I thank God for this fact. Lord, we have been slow to think. We have been very slow to think and to understand. You know, we need help. God, it sure has taken me a long time to get some of this revelation, like it wasn't there. But you can get tied in ways of thinking. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here. We're going to be taking an offering then for our missions this morning. But hallelujah. I just want to praise God. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for opening these things up into scriptures, Lord God, especially this day and time. People need help. The church, so many believers need help, Lord God. Lord, we see things and understand things. And Lord God, there's so many that don't. And Lord God, they're your children and we want them blessed. We want them blessed. Hallelujah. We want people to see. And Lord God, I'm just praying for the eyes of the understanding to be enlightened, hallelujah, in the church world, to see the glory that Jesus Christ brought to the church through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the glorious place that the church, the believer, stands in these last days. The position of authority that we have. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I realize that in the past there's people walked and knew these things, but Lord, so much has slipped away over time. Slipped away. People got into comfort. People got so interested in just blessing than they really in walking in the light of your revelation. And Lord God, it's hurt us so much. It's hurt us. It's hurt the church. It's hurt our nation. And Lord God, I want to thank you for your kindness and mercy, and especially such great mercy that you've shown toward the church and toward our nation. You have been so merciful. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's so many reasons why we should have went under. But Lord God, you were so kind. And I just want to thank you. You're so patient. Hallelujah. Lord, we've been teaching this morning about standing, and surely you've stood. Surely you have stood. Hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. And given us chance after chance, and we just want to say thank you. Lord God, I believe we're going to enter into the fullness of what you have for us. I really believe we're going to do it. These last days. Lord God, your full plan and purpose is going to be carried out. Hallelujah. And Lord God, especially, Lord, there's so many slipping off into eternity without Christ. Lord God, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. Much is going to change. Much is going to change. Much is going to change. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, I believe you're waking up the giant. I believe you're waking up the giant, and that's the church. You're waking up the giant. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, as you're awakening us, and I just appreciate it so much, to renewing so many of these things of revelation to us, to bring them back, to refresh us, to strengthen us. Hallelujah. Lord God, to put into our hearts and minds that we're heading in the right direction. Hallelujah. We're going after it. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. We're going after it. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, we won't go after it and not get it. Hallelujah. We're going to get it. And so we thank you for that. Hallelujah. And thank you for opening these doors to us, Lord God. And Lord, this morning as we're going to take an offering here this morning for our missionaries, I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful for the body of Christ, people who's serving. Lord God, and I'm talking, Lord, the whole body of Christ. I thank you, Lord God. There's some that salvation is the only thing that they preach, but at least they're getting people saved. Hallelujah. Thank God, getting people born again so people go to heaven. Hallelujah. They'll miss hell. How wonderful that is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we just thank you for letting us be a part of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.